couldn't be two more different sounds than Eruption and the Daveland theme. It's brought to you by
Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, and American Leak Detection.
Here is David.
Thank you. Well, I was gone on Friday. Yeah, and the reason.
Another Friday.
Sorry.
Jeez.
The reason why, it's the final weekend of freedom for my daughter before she goes back to school.
Look, this August, we're all pushing to get through, right?
Sure.
And once September rolls around, no days off.
Till December.
So we may sprinkle in a few. Yeah, till December.
No days off, we may sprinkle in a few is my favorite Corbyism.
No!
Before September
is what I'm saying.
You're not taking any days off once football starts.
No, we don't.
I'll mark the tape.
What do you think? Wait, none of us do.
December?
Yes, we said December. That's a carve-out.
Okay, just no Renegade Fridays, no festivals.
Thanksgiving?
We'll see. Oh, yeah, Thanksgiving.
No Ryder.
Well, that doesn't count either.
Yeah,
that doesn't.
No one's working.
No Ryder Cup.
No one's working.
All right, Dave, sorry.
Anyway, so we decided to do a staycation. So we had many fun activities planned on Friday. And then we had a big pool party and Cowboy was watching party.
So she went back to school today?
No. She goes on Wednesday, but she's at her mom's leading up to school. Yeah. So she was partying with me over the weekend. We had a pool party. Cowboy's watching party on Saturday. We did some back to school shopping and brunching on Sunday. And then we closed it out with a movie last night.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a movie that my daughter very much wanted to see. And it was a limited engagement. And so we had to get it in this weekend, and we did. I speak of the movie It's Never Over, Jeff Buckley. It's the Jeff Buckley biopic. It's been 30 years since he died.
So you're going to have to do a hard reset on Jeff Buckley.
Yeah, well, I will. Okay. That's the whole point of this.
Oh.
And so the movie is directed by Amy Berg. She is a famous documentarian. She's most known for Deliver Us from Evil. That was like her first movie in the early aughts about sex abuse in the Catholic Church.
How did your daughter get into Jeff Buckley?
She has really eclectic tastes. I mean, she loves she is into like Tyler Childers and stuff. She has like a country thing, and then she's really into Drake.
Yeah.
And then she's really into indie pop. But then she also loves 90s music.
Good for her, man. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So she's all over the map. But she and one of her friends have bonded over Jeff Buckley. And for those who don't know, Jeff Buckley was a singer-songwriter in the early 90s. And he got signed to a major label. And his only album, his debut album, Grace, which came out in 94, 95... It was not so big in the U.S. because that was in the height of grunge, but it was huge overseas. And then since then, especially because he died at an early age, he died at the age of 30 in 1997. It has gained in stature over the years, and it's hailed as one of the 200 greatest albums by Rolling Stone. It's gone multi-platinum over worldwide over the course of decades. And but it kind of goes back to the beginning, and I didn't know any of this. Like I had Grace on CD back in the 90s, and he's divisive because he had like a 4-octave range, and he would kind of wail and sing in really a high voice. And he's best known for the cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. And a lot of people just can't stand it. That wasn't necessarily my favorite song of his.
Yeah.
But I'll play you a little bit of the trailer. So this is a little bit of the trailer, and you'll hear a little clip of Hallelujah in there. Right. And, so this is.
How did he die? Drown?
Yeah, drowning. I'll tell you that in a minute. So this is from It's Never Over.
Hang on, Bob. What do you think you inherited from your father?
People who remember my father. Next question.
We were these two sensitive young souls who found each other.
Grace was huge.
My main influences, love, anger, depression, and Zeppelin.
We made our first record no one else could come close to making. It's uncanny. He already looks like Sinatra.
He got where he needed to go.
I didn't want to be in his world if he didn't really want me there.
Hallelujah.
He said, I have to tell you something about me. I'm not going to last that long.
So two things.
Called his own death?
Yeah, so two things in that. One, that last bit, that was the girl that he dated towards the end of his life. She was in another band that he toured with, and they struck up a romance. But he, several times in interviews and anecdotes that other people would tell, that he was very concerned with death. Like, there was an interview at one point where they said, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And he's like, I don't know, man. It's a blank screen.
So he knew something bad was going to happen.
Yeah, he didn't really see how his life was going to play out. Like, he was very much in the moment. And another part of it that they talk about is mental illness. Because this was early 90s, you didn't talk about, you know, taking care of your mentals,
right?
You know, and people weren't seeking therapy or going on medication. And it's apparent that he was either like a manic depressive or bipolar, because he would have really high highs and really low lows. Like they had a whole thing about how he would do these sketches, like sketch shows on his answering machine. Like, people would call up and listen to it because it was like an hour long that he would produce on a cassette and just, you know, have it as just something that was a labor of love for him. And if anybody wanted to listen to it, they could call his number and listen to it. And so he was very goofy and creative, but then he also would have bouts of severe depression, and he would go on like 2-day walkabouts where people wouldn't know where he was. He would just disappear.
Did they interview anybody in Radiohead?
No, but they do reference that. But they also reference in that trailer his dad. So I didn't know this, but his mom had Jeff when she was in high school, when she was 17. And she was involved with a classmate, Tim Buckley. And Tim Buckley, they got engaged, and I think they got married, and then she got pregnant. And then once she got pregnant, when she was like 6 months pregnant, he was like, I can't be a dad right now. And so they got divorced, and he went off and became a musician. So he was like kind of like a folky, and then later like a psychedelic guy, like in the 60s and 70s.
I don't think that's being a good father.
Moderately well known, you know, Tim Buckley.
But never had any relationship with his kid.
Well, at one point when Jeff was like 8 or something, like around Easter break, his dad came and played in L.A., and his mom took him to see him, and they went backstage, and he met his dad, and then
for the first time.
Yeah, and then his dad was like, why don't you come home with me? And so he took him home for like a week.
Let's get baked.
And then he put him on a bus back to his mom's house. And then
eight.
And then he never saw him again, and then like 2 years later, his dad died of a heroin overdose.
God!
Yeah. So
he was heavily affected by
crazy that. Upbringing. Yeah. But the thing is, so his mom was like a classical pianist, and dad, obviously a musician, and music was always played in his house. And so he just grew up knowing music and having a natural gift for music. And, you know, his early heroes, he loved Diana Ross. He loved Judy Garland. He loved Nina Simone. And he said that he wanted to be a chanteuse. Like, he idolized all these female singers. So that kind of influenced the way he approached singing, which I thought was interesting. But he also had this very butch side. Like, he really loved Zeppelin. His stepdad was into all the classic rock and introduced him to Zeppelin and The Who and The Doors and all that stuff. And one of the highlights of his life, they played a festival in Paris in 95 that Page and Plant played. And they interviewed Ben Harper. Ben Harper played on that same bill. And Ben Harper was friends with Jeff Buckley. And they had talked. They were going to go and meet each other and go watch the Page Plant set after they were done playing. And so he says that they get to the pit and they can't find Jeff. And then they look up and he's climbed the scaffolding and he's like hanging off the scaffolding, watching Page and Plant from like bird's eye view. And he makes eye contact with Ben Harper and is like, come up here. He's like, I'm not going up there. So he had this really interesting dynamic of like hard and soft and masculine and feminine. But the way he kind of got famous is interesting because he wanted a distance from his dad because he had this like obviously love hate relationship because he was abandoned by his dad. But his dad died in the 70s. But then in 1991 at St. Anne's Church in New York, they had a memorial for him. And so Jeff decided to play at it and play some of his dad's songs, which he had never had before, because he didn't get to go to his funeral the first time. And so this is a little bit of him as like a 23-year-old. No one knows who he is, but he steals the show playing his dad's songs. And I can't remember the name of this one, but anyway. He's super nervous.
Long time ago, when I was a little kid, my mom sat on a bed and she put this record on. And it's like the first song I ever heard that had my father's voice. Once I was a soldier, and I fought on foreign sands for you.
So, all these music industry people are there at this memorial, and they said that he got like 30 business cards after this performance. And his last song that he performed, he broke a string, so he finished the song a cappella, and in the acoustics of the church, it was just like haunting. And so all of a sudden he was like on the map for people. And, but then even then it was kind of a slow build because he worked at a coffee shop in the Lower East Side where he lived. He met a girl that the girlfriend that you heard in the trailer, her name Rebecca Moore, they move in together and he works at this coffee shop called Cine. And so he starts doing basically an open mic night and he has this one hero. It's a Pakistani devotional singer Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. And so there's this bit where you can hear the crowd like not knowing what to do with this. They kind of laugh as he's like, this is one of my heroes and this is the first song that I ever heard from him.
I'll do just a bit of the first song that I ever heard by Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. Playing on a sitar, the other guy, the Indian guy,
yeah,
probably.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
They're all laughing.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with this. And then he later met this guy and started singing to him because the guy doesn't speak English. And so he started singing to him. And then the guy was like, oh, my God, this white kid knows my music. So, yeah, he also made friends with Chris Cornell. You mentioned Radiohead. He was much bigger in Europe than he was in the States, and he played in London, and Radiohead went and saw him and immediately after went into the studio and recorded Fake Plastic Trees.
Yeah.
That
based on him.
Tom York says that seeing Jeff Buckley gave him the courage to sing in falsetto. And wow. So Radiohead wouldn't be Radiohead without Jeff Buckley. But it all comes to a tragic end because he signs this $1 million deal with Columbia Records. He should have gone with a smaller independent label, but he loves the history of Columbia because he has all of these heroes that have put out records for Columbia. So he puts out Grace, and it's a beautiful record, but it doesn't sell. And so he's way in the hole with Columbia Records, and they're pressuring him. He tours for like 3 years straight, but they're pressuring him. When's your follow-up record? When's your follow-up record? And he has a couple of fits and starts of laying down some demos and doing some sessions. And he's not happy with any of it. So then he rents a house in Memphis, and he's working on a four-track, and he's putting together songs on this four-track at this rent house in Memphis. And he's about to have his band fly in, and they're going to have sessions to work on the second album. And then he's walking home one day in the afternoon with one of the sound engineers, and it's the Wolf River that runs there in Memphis. And he decides, just because he is very spontaneous and wild ass, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go take a dip. So he jumps into the river fully clothed. And then as he's there, and his buddy is like, you know, the water is lapping up onto the banks. And so his buddy grabs like his guitar case and the radio that was playing Led Zeppelin, and he pulls it to dry land. And then he looks back out there and Jeff's gone, and a tugboat had gone by, and the wake of the tugboat pulled him under, and they didn't find his body for 6 days.
God,
jeez.
And then it was very important for his friends and the family that, you know, when they did the autopsy, no drugs, no alcohol in his system.
Yeah, he just went off. He just
decided to jump in the river, and then that was the end. So he was like very close to starting on that second record, and who knows where his career could have gone.
How old was he?
He was just turned 30.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jeff Buckley, the movie again is called It's Never Over, Jeff Buckley. I just barely scratched the surface, and they did have like four songs from a show that was recorded, like an acapella show that he did, or not an acapella, solo show that they play after the credits, but it's at Angelica Theater through Thursday. I don't know if there's anywhere else that you can see it right now.
There are very few musicians who did as little as he did that are as highly thought of as he is.
Yeah. I mean, Robert Plant is like, he is the best voice of that generation.
Yeah. Eddie Vedder says the same thing. Like, they were all obsessed with him.
I want to see this.
Yeah. And if you can't see it in theaters, it is an HBO music documentary. So eventually it will end up on HBO Max. And it was produced by Brad Pitt.
Oh, great.
Brad Pitt loves him as well.
We love Brad Pitt.
We do.
We hope he's handsome.
R.I.P. Jeff Buckley.
To him.
DJ, send the widow a ham. Okay.
Shout out to Terrell Buckley, too.